Now, we were talking on the show 2 weeks ago with Amy Kerr Mousey, all the way from Minnesota, USA. And Amy had a very interesting story to tell with links to this area and issued an appeal for information. Information in relation to the plane crash on Trusmore Mountain in North Sligo in 1943. An American World War II bomber plane crashed into the side of the mountain in December of that year, en route from Canada to Prestwick in Scotland. Unfortunately, three crewmen were killed, seven survived, including Amy's grandfather, Richard Walsh, who was the pilot of the plane. And those who survived the crash were helped down the mountain at the time by local residents. And Amy is to visit this region in April of next year and was anxious to hear from anybody who may still have any memories of the plane crash or have heard any stories about it.
So, oh my gosh, I don't know. I know the farm people that were the first ones up to start helping had a 10-year-old son. So, I mean, maybe he's 90 now, but I'm hoping stories were passed down and, people know about it. I know the wreckage is still up there, and we do plan to walk up there. And just to even walk around and even thank people, thank this wonderful town that did this wonderful thing almost 80 years ago.
Well, incredibly, we were directed to our next guest after that interview, who was originally from Ballantrillick in North Sligo. His name is John Rooney. He lives in Dublin and has done for many years. John's in his 80s, but he remembers this plane crash as a young child and was in a house on the mountain at the time. John, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
You can actually remember 1943, John. You can.
I can. I was 5 years old at the time. Just coming. Yeah, 5 years old. The reason I remember it a little bit is that my grandparents' house, that would have been Daniel and Bridget Rooney, was, I suppose you would call it, camp base for the rescue. Because it was the closest to it, and the access to through my grandparents' land, access to mountaintop.
Yeah,
and that's I remember the first thing I remember of it was the evening it happened. Myself, my brother Danny, I think we may have been in bed, and our neighbour called to the house and talked to my father, Jimmy Rooney, and I heard the words, there's been a plane crash, etc. So my father just put on his jacket and the two of them went off. And the next day, my mother brought us, myself and my brother Danny, up to our grandparents, because my grandmother, who was in her 70s at the time, was... I believe noted for making the tea and hot water, etc., for the rescuers and all that type of thing, you know. And later on, then I heard the men talking about the difficulties of rescue, and like they dug one chap out with their bare hands. He'd been trapped under the fuselage somewhere. And they talked about the cold and had the trouble of carrying the stretchers down. And then sometime later, within a week, I think, I managed to get to the mountain myself, and I saw the plane. I saw where it had just skimmed the top of the mountain. You could see the tracks of the propellers, four tracks of the propellers before the engines were torn out. And it came to rest more or less intact. At that stage now, everything was gone, but the plane was in good condition, relatively good condition. The wings were intact, the tail, the fuselage, except the bottom. And there was an army guard on the plane at the time. Basically, that's all I could recall.
Well, it's a very, very vivid memory for someone so young. 5 years old you were, but obviously such a...
Well, I was very interested in airplanes.
Yeah, well, I mean...
In fact, the following year, I got a toy airplane for Christmas.
Yeah. And as you say, you remember the rescuers coming and
yeah,
going
from
your grandparents.
Yeah, I remember the rescuers talk. Well, I was in bed during the actual rescue, but the next day we were in my grandparents, and I remember army personnel being there. There's one story told. I didn't hear it, but it's told. I do remember an army officer talking very intently to my grandmother, and it seems that she would have, she didn't want payment, but she would have liked, as tea was rationed during the war, she would have loved to have her tea stock replenished. And I believe, unfortunately, that was never done. So I suppose I could say that either the American government or the Irish government owe my grandmother a pound of tea.
Well, it wasn't, even though it was at the height of the war, it wasn't much to ask for, that's for sure, considering...
No, well, that, you know, country people, that's...
Yeah, well, considering what they were involved in. And when Amy was on her show a couple of weeks ago, you know, she was well-versed in how helpful all these local residents were in rescuing her grandfather and his colleagues.
So, yes. Well, all the local people spent the night on the mountain, and it was daylight before the last were taken down, I understand, and they had to be carried physically down. I understand they did it in relays, you know, and there would have been six men to a stretch, I understand, you know. And in those days, those were non-existent. So that I also remember one man saying how cold his hands were holding the stretcher, you know.
And later on, as you got older, John, did you realise the significance of what you had come across as a friend?
Not really. Not really. It was brought back to me by a nephew of mine, Neil, who lived in London. He lives in Ireland now. He was born in London and lived in London. And he told me that there was an article on the internet about it. So I looked it up, and that brought it back. But I always remembered all the details of it, even the army uniforms. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but in later life I realized that I could tell an officer from an ordinary soldier by the uniform, you know. But I never met any of the airmen. I understand that the pilot made his way down to a house called of Dennis McSherry. And from there they raised the alarm. And there was no phones, very few bikes, so I think they had to walk to Cliffany Station to raise the alarm, and then everybody was mobilised, and all the local people, word went around, all the local people and all the men gathered, of course, to assist in the rescue. You know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure Amy would be only too happy to talk with you, John, when she comes to Ireland next year, and I'm sure there are still, as we have heard in the past couple of weeks, there are still people out there like yourself with memories of that day.
Like that gentleman I mentioned, John, and there's another man who I know would possibly know it as well. They're slightly older than me. And I'm fairly old now, but still some older than me.